Hello, on this week's episode of One Flight Trio, I will be speaking. My name is Paloma, and I go to Harvard University. I'm studying integrative biology, and I'm originally from Santa Teresa, New Mexico, but I grew up in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. I will be talking to you guys about my journey going from Mexico to New Mexico to Harvard, and just like my journey from a Title I high school and all the resources that I use to get to where I am as a fly student myself.
One Fly Trio is a lively and engaging podcast designed to be your guide and mentor as you navigate the often challenging world of higher education. Your host, Linnell, a college admissions and financial aid guru.
And Rashid, a dedicated advocate for the success of underrepresented communities, team up with a rotating guest host who has lived the first generation, limited income, fly experience.
One Fly Trio will explore all aspects of the college journey, from college essays and financial aid and course selection to social life, internships, post-graduation plans, and more. We take a deep dive into the factors that contribute to success in college and beyond, demystifying areas that have historically been challenging for underrepresented communities.
Each episode is packed with real stories, expert advice, and actionable tips, all delivered in a fun, easy-to-digest format. Join us on One Fly Trio as we break down barriers, challenge stereotypes, and empower students to achieve their dreams. Because when it comes to success,
we're all in this together. Paloma, welcome to today's episode. Please, can you help our listeners better appreciate and understand your story?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Paloma Del Valle, and I am a rising junior at Harvard. And I am originally from a suburb of El Paso, Texas, called Santa Teresa, New Mexico. But I grew up in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, until I was 7. I'm currently studying integrative biology with a minor in global health. And I'm currently doing a summer research program at the Broad Institute doing cancer immunotherapy.
Wow. Okay. So in your mind, as you began working towards this, did you always see, all right, college is the path and some of the things you're focused on being what you wanted to attain?
Well, I for sure always saw college as a path. Like I definitely wanted to attend college. I wanted to attend a four-year institution. And this was the thing, like my whole life, even like in childhood. But I think it's definitely like where I ended up that ended up being a little more surprising. I was feeling very unprepared when I was going into the college admissions process. And like, I was just very nervous and experiencing a lot of imposter syndrome, especially like as I compared myself to like other people around me and like people online who had all these like amazing accomplishments. But the ultimate goal was to go to college, and I personally really wanted to go out of college out of state. So that was my dream, just going to college out of state and being able to experience new places and new people outside of my home.
I have a question. My question is this. Can you back us up 1 second and talk to me about integrative biology? What is that?
So it used to be called organismic evolutionary biology. And so it was just like about like evolution, like organism, pretty self-explanatory. But at Harvard, we don't really have like just a standard like general biology major. So there's just like a bunch of them. There's like molecular biology, there's like regenerative biology, there's chemical, physical biology. There's a bunch of like little sub areas of biology, but they wanted to create a field that was like a little bit more broad for people that wanted to explore other aspects. And I really want to go to grad school. So like, I want to familiarize myself with like a lot of the different types of biology. And I didn't want to really just stick to one type and like one like subtype. I wanted to be able to explore different realms. So like within my major, I can explore anything. And that's the best part about it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. I learned something new today. So you've come a long way, literally. You are from rural New Mexico Ciudad Juarez to rural New Mexico to Harvard. Can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
So that journey was definitely like super, super hard. And I feel like I experienced a lot of like big changes at a really young age. So I was born in El Paso borders Ciudad Juarez. But my family is from Ciudad Juarez. So as soon as I was born, my family and I were in Ciudad Juarez until I was 7. And it's a beautiful community. It's a beautiful city with great people. But at the time, like there was a lot of like insecurity in the city, and there was a lot of political issues that were going on, and there still is some, but at the time it was very, very hard. So like experiencing a lot of that violence and a lot of that, those political issues definitely were very impactful at a young age. And like moving to the US in general was very difficult because I was, again, 7 years old and I didn't speak the language. And I just came, I used to live in a town called Carlsbad, New Mexico, which was, like very, very, very small town. And like the school that I was going to, like, there was no bilingual programs throughout the entire town, except at one school, which happened to be like pretty far from where I lived. And I did like some bilingual stuff in that school. But it was definitely very hard because I was like one of the only kids that was like, well, actually, like I might have been like the only kid that was actually learning English from like scratch at that age. Like all the other kids already had like some sort of grasp, and they were only learning because they spoke it at home in within the town. But it was really hard. Like they just had me on Rosetta Stone, and like that's basically what I was doing. I learned English through Rosetta Stone, and like just. It was a very hard transition moving from that bilingual class to like a fully English classroom, but I couldn't be at that school for long because it was out of my area. So, it was definitely, yeah, like it was a struggle starting from then and like learning English and just facing a lot of bullying and a lot of like negativity from certain people around me. But I also had the support system of my family and like some good people around me that like really supported me and supported me learning the language and assimilating more to like American culture, I would say. And then as I grew older, like I went to high school, I moved to this other area, Santa Teresa. And that was also very hard because it was a Title I high school. There were limited resources. People in my high school, like only about like a couple every year went out of state. So like the possibility of going out of state seemed like very minimal. And I was very insecure that I wasn't going to have what it took, but eventually like with a lot of perseverance and with a lot of like hard work, I was able to move on to Harvard. And that transition in itself is also hard. Like I said, coming from a high school with low resources, and now going to like this huge institution, like it's definitely like a big change, but it's something that can be adaptable if you look for the right resources and the right people.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can we pull on that thread a little bit? Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, you've spoken about the adjustment going from Mexico to New Mexico. I would imagine that going from New Mexico to Boston, right? Probably a lot further away from family, a lot further away from, you know, things that you're comfortable and you understand and appreciate. Can you share a little bit about what was hard for you with that transition from an academic or social perspective and how you navigated that?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, like I said, it was a bit of a transition. In terms of like social, I feel like it ended up being working out pretty nicely because like I feel like when I was in high school I always felt like a little bit like out of place sometimes, and I just didn't feel like I had found like a certain group of my people. And I feel like a lot of my goals were very ambitious, and I feel like the people that I was surrounded by, there were a lot of good people in my high school, but there was also a lot of people who were very adamant about like tearing other people's goals down. And I feel like in the moment I was just really excited to get to move to a new place and experience new things and like meet people with similar perspectives. And then when I went to Harvard, I feel like I really, really met people that I identified with, and we all shared like that common like ambition and also like the common like hard work behind us. Like most of my friends are also Mexican. They're also like FGLI. And it was just really nice to like identify with a group of people that like wanted to do the same things as me and like weren't afraid to dream big and weren't like judgmental of the fact that like one can dream big. Academic, of course, it was super hard. I got to college and I had literally never seen like a lot of biology. Like when I went to high school, there was a lot of issues with like the fact that like teachers were like constantly leaving the class. And like my freshman year biology class, we had three teachers that year because they kept like leaving the school, and they kept like moving on to like other things. But because we had like pretty much like no background with that, it was really hard, like having like that AP biology and that and just that transition like to learning biology for the first time in college. And just that was really hard in its own. And like just seeing everybody, like there's people that like go to prep schools and stuff, and they're very much like, oh, like I've seen this like multiple times in high school. And I was just like, I haven't really seen it before. So like that was a little bit hard, but eventually like it ended up working out and I ended up just really like pushing forward and trying my best.
So I'm going to pull on threads again. So we'll start a little bit on the academic side, since you just ended with that. What were some of the things that you did, since you didn't have some of the prep work beforehand, to be able to familiarize yourself, get yourself comfortable, have support as you were acclimating, right? Were there groups that you joined or people that you worked with? Talk a little bit about that. And then I'll ask the other question on sort of the social side.
Yeah, of course. So I think it took like a lot of courage to try to find the resources, because I feel like sometimes like you can be a little bit prideful when you get to college and you're like, oh, it's okay, I can do it. But like, I'm here to tell you that like a lot of the time, like it's like you're going to have to reach out for help. Like you really cannot like do it on your own, especially if you come from a similar background as me. Like you definitely have to find something that will help you adjust. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it's always okay to seek out for help. It's always okay to like find resources. But in terms of that, I think it was just surrounding myself with people who had similar backgrounds. So like I said, my friends were a big support system. And when I first, Harvard does like a really nice job of like putting you together with other people from a similar background. We have pre-orientation programs, and I did one called FIRE. And it was basically like a program for like FGLI and like people of color, to just kind of have an introduction to Harvard and like just have like all the older kids that were in a part of like the mentorship. Like they were basically like giving us like feedback, they were giving us ideas, they were giving us resources. And it was just a very, very nice introduction of Harvard, and like all these like older students were like serving as mentors to us, which helped us like kind of get a little bit more used to the flow of things. So then that was very helpful. And like within that like community, I found my friends, and like all of my friends did the FIRE program. And like, I think the FIRE program was something that we all just kept very close to our hearts, even as like we're going into our junior year. Like we're still very much involved with everybody that was in our cohort, and like even the younger kids too. Like they kind of come to us and they're just like, oh, hey, like I did the FIRE program. Like, do you have any tips for me? So yeah, it was pretty much that. And then like, just in terms of like academics and stuff, it was pretty much like just really taking the classes that are like the most basic, so that like, I'm not going to force myself to take something extremely hard, like advanced biology my first year, because like, I know I'm not going to do well. I know I don't understand anything. So I took like the very, very basic classes and just really made sure to go to office hours, made sure to find like resources in terms of tutoring, make sure to find like peers that understand the material better, and just have like an interchange. Like whenever I understood something, I would explain it, and then like my other friends understood it and we'd explain it. But it can definitely be hard. Like there's times where I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. But it's definitely doable, and you have to just find a way to manage it.
Paloma, thank you. Thank you so much. Super enlightening. So as you're listening to just what Paloma shared, we started off, you know, really focused on sort of the academics, but you could hear how it led itself into social as well. And granted, you know, you may not be at Harvard or targeting Harvard, but there's a lot of programs similar to the FIRE program that you could potentially get into that could help you sort of acclimate to the new space that you're stepping into. And you have the opportunity to build those social constructs. There are individuals from similar backgrounds all across the states or the globe who are there in a similar position to you. And through that shared journey, you can come together and start supporting one another. You also heard Paloma talk about the ability to really appreciate how some classes are a little bit more challenging versus others, and ensuring that you're taking them in a chronological order that makes sense to ensure your success. All of that comes through talking to different individuals and understanding what their experiences were like, and then determining what you need to do with your experience as well. So Paloma, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, and just one other point that I'd like to add on to that, Rashid, is the fact that your answer, Paloma, is the great illustrator of why representation matters. On those days that were so hard for you, you had those older, you know, fly students to look at and go, okay, they're like me and they've been successful. So you know what? I know it's doable. And it's that hope. It's those mentors to go to find out how they did it. And like Rashid said, you know, Harvard is not the only one to offer this kind of program. So many schools do it. And I think it's so incredibly important because, you know, Paloma, as you pointed out, that is how you started building your community. That was your first community at Harvard. And so to other people going to college, I would say, take advantage of that. It's something I tell, you know, every fly student that I work with is, there's a fly group on campus, go find it. Or those affinity groups for, you know, people from your culture, from your background, things like that, that I think are so, so important. So thank you for that. I want to go back to high school for a minute. You talked about high school being a little bit difficult because you didn't quite fit, right? There was this, kind of the majority of students were kind of marching in a particular direction, and you were not. You were marching to a beat of a different drummer in high school, and it's not always a comfortable thing to feel like you're sort of being left out or standing out. How, you know, when you talk about a Title I high school without as many resources, how did you start to close that gap for yourself? Like, one doesn't just wake up one day and apply to Harvard, you know, when you're from a place where nobody does that. So how did you do it?
Yeah, of course. So I feel like at the beginning of high school, it was definitely really difficult because I was just like I feel like I felt like my dreams were too unattainable. And I feel like my main goal was just going out of state and finding a way to get like a full ride. Because again, like even my high school as a whole was also like predominantly like low income, predominantly Hispanic high school as well. And I just didn't know how I was going to be able to pay for anything. So I just started off and right off the bat, I started like joining clubs. I started like really working hard in my classes. Like I was like, if I really want to do this, like I'm going to have to really work hard, and I'm going to have to from the start, just like have some sort of like backbone to like the dreams that I want to accomplish. So the beginning, it was just working hard. And I feel like it was really stressful because at the time, like I didn't even know that financial aid was like a thing, in the sense that like there's schools that meet 100% of your financial need. And there's still people today that don't know that. And like, I know there's people in my high school that don't know that. And like, every time I get a chance to talk to like younger kids that are still at my high school, I'm just like, please know that like there's schools like that are out there and they're willing to like, they provide 100% aid based on your family's income. So like that in itself is very, very important. Like a lot of people don't apply because they think that like cost is a barrier, without knowing that there's like a whole list of schools that do that. And I wasn't really introduced to that until I got to like my junior year, and I applied to a bunch of like FLAG programs to help underrepresented students. And I ended up applying to a bunch of them, and I got into quite a few. And one of the ones that like I still keep very much in touch with and like I'm very connected with is Hamilton Scholars, which is where I met Linnell. And it was a very, very fun program, and they really, really introduced us to all these different resources and all the different opportunities that we had to just be able to join universities like this, and just have more of an idea of of the things that we could have access to. And like, I think just sharing those resources was so important. And not only that, like the people that you meet in those programs, it's so impactful because you meet all these like amazing students from like everywhere across the country. Like there was people from like literally every part, and like there was 30 of us in the cohort, but like quite literally like we were very much scattered throughout the country, and it was so cool to like meet people from like other places who shared the similar goal. So I think community is so important in like these spaces, because like I felt very much like left out and like out of place at my high school, and even like the adults around me too. Like I feel like it was a lot of difficult, like very difficult to try to have like relationships with like people at my high school, because it was very much like there was a lot of closed-mindedness there. And then when I went to like programs like Hamilton, like I was able to find like other open-minded people that were like, okay, like I come from this situation, I come from this type of high school, this type of background, but I'm still very much wanting to go forward and to push myself and to just find like other opportunities for me out there. And I think that's one of the major things that helped close the gap for me, because it became a tiny bit like more realistic for me to apply to these places. Like, of course I was still experiencing imposter syndrome. Of course I was still like comparing myself to people on like Reddit and like TikTok and a bunch of these like social media platforms, as well as like people in the cohort too. Cause I saw these accomplishments that they had, and I was just like, wow, like I have literally like never done anything close to that. But it also kind of pushes you to be better, because you're just like, wow, I'm surrounded by all these amazing people. And like, it just kind of inspired me to be better. And that community in itself and those resources that were provided to me by that program, as well as like other programs that I did. I also did an MIT Introduction to Science and Engineering program called MOSTEC at the time. Now it's called MITES. That program was also amazing, and that was more to introduce me to science and STEM and like allow me to have like something in my extracurriculars that kind of dealt with like health and like biology a little bit more. And all these programs were free, and they were available to be online because it was during COVID. So it was awesome.
There are two things I'd like to double back to. One of them is you talked about not having the kinds of accomplishments that compared to some of your high achieving peers. And listeners, I'm here to tell you, not true. I think what happens is when we look at ourselves, it's often we don't see ourselves very accurately. And having read Paloma's Hamilton application, I can tell you, we recognize those things in you immediately. And so, I want listeners to know, like, the accomplishments don't have to look like everybody else's, but in her own way and in her own community, Paloma really clearly stood out. The other thing I'd like to say, Paloma, is like I'm having this proud mentor moment right now where I want to shed a little tear because, here you are, somebody that knew nothing about financial aid, the ability of financial aid, and now you're out there like not only preaching it to your younger peers, but you're slinging around the vocabulary of like meeting full need and blah, blah, blah. And I just have to tell you that like in my nerdy little financial aid corner of the world, my job here is done. So I'm super proud of that. I'm proud of all that you've done because the journey has been a long one, both metaphorically and very literally. So thank you for sharing that. Those are hugely important journeys, and I'm grateful that you shared them.
Of course.
Go ahead, Rashid.
So I want to go back to something you had shared, right? You spoke about this program that MIT had offered, right? And so was that before you got into college, or was that while you're there trying to think through the placement of that?
So that was before. It was also, I was doing it alongside like Hamilton during that time. It was like that summer. I was literally like on multiple Zoom screens. Like I was just, I really wanted to exhaust the resources that were like available to me in all these applications, because like quite literally, like I had no resources to look for at my high school. So I'm just like, let me apply to a bunch of these and see what happens. But in terms of the MIT one, yeah, like that was more of like a little class in the summer. And it's like, it was all virtual, and it was a 6 month long program. So it was a little bit like a little bit time consuming at times, because it did last through the school year. Hamilton's a 5 year program. So it's also like lengthy, but that's more of like support system, and that's more of like resources. But with the MIT one, it was very much like that whole summer we were working on a project, and I just did like an app in regards to healthcare, and I presented it at a symposium. And then we just got mentorship for the rest of the months and like help on our college applications. Cause it was like the summer before senior year, and it transitioned to like fall semester of senior year when we were applying to college. So like
I
was so grateful to have like Hamilton and the MOSTIC program like behind me, like to help me out with my applications.
And the reason I thought it was important to come back and ask you that is because I want to dive a little bit deeper into sort of how you chose your major. And it sounds like that program helped enable you to focus and perhaps even expand your knowledge base and jargon and vocabulary, and even maybe helped you begin to pick out what you did and didn't like. And so I want to go a little bit before that. Like, how did you know, from a major perspective and what you hope to do later on, you know, that's what you wanted to do? And then talk a little bit about how, after you got there, how you've refined it once you've gotten into school.
Yeah, of course. So I've always loved science ever since I was a little kid. Like I was that type of kid that like would just do like little experiments, and like I would like make my own perfumes as a kid. Like I would literally just like grab water and like flowers and like random stuff, and I would be like, oh, this is a perfume. I love science, and I thought it was just like such a beautiful like field. And I didn't really start getting into like biology stuff until I didn't start like thinking about it as much until I got to like middle schoolish. So my family, there's a lot of like predisposed medical conditions in my family, and I feel like that had like a very, very significant impact on me, because I would see it firsthand. And I feel like I, at a very young age, like I would see a lot of like medical emergencies, and I would see a lot of the way in which medicine affects people's day-to-day lives in the terms of healthcare as well. And like also health disparities too, like just the fact that like I do live in like the Texas, New Mexico area. They're so close together. Like the New Mexico part where I live, it's literally just houses and like the schools. So we don't have like any hospitals and stuff. And then the Texas side, of course, like there's like the hospitals and everything. But because like our health insurance is New Mexico, sometimes we can't really find care on the El Paso, Texas side. So we have to drive up to Las Cruces, which is like 45 minutes away, or sometimes 4 hours away if there's no specialist, to go to Albuquerque. So that health disparity was also very big. My little brother suffered from multiple medical conditions. He was on a feeding tube. And just like seeing him and like seeing his story as well, and like was also like a very big moment for me. But I think the biggest one was definitely, I was very close to my grandmother, and she had diabetes, and like her diabetes was, she had type 2. But as she got older, like this diabetes, like all the complications that come from diabetes basically started like coming after my grandma. And like she developed issues with her eyes, and she started going blind. She started experiencing issues with her feet. She got kidney failure, so she had to get on dialysis. And me and my family took care of my grandmother. So like it was very difficult, because there was moments where like we had to call the emergency room. We had to like take her to the hospital. Like we had to call 911, because like there was always like a lot of little things happening with my grandma. And then with my brother, when he was also in, had his feeding tube and that. And my mom as well, she has thyroid disease. So like medicine was just like a big thing. I was just like, wow, like there's so many medical issues and like people just don't talk about, like, especially in terms of diabetes. Like I'm very, very passionate about diabetes and like diabetes research, because there's so many complications and people just don't talk about it enough and just don't talk about the fact that like it is a chronic disease. So you live with it your whole life, but you also have the complications that come later in life. And it's very, very difficult. But I think that was just like the biggest thing for me. And then because a lot of these conditions can be predisposed, I got really into genetics specifically. So like it started like narrowing down a little bit more. Like I knew I wanted to do something. I feel like I never really had much of a pre-med like interest. I never really wanted to go to med school. Like there was a point, like I do love working with people. Like there was a point where I kind of thought about it. But it was always the science and the research for me that drove me, because I wanted to be like in like there, like in that realm, like working on like building specific therapies, specific drugs, like specific just solutions to help people. And like while it might not be working directly one-on-one with people, like I really wanted to be able to do something more in the background to really build like knowledge and build help for other people that like are suffering from these conditions. And like then as I got to college, of course, like I really started learning about like more specific little things that I really liked. Like I really got into cell biology. I loved learning about cells, which I didn't expect. Like I kind of was like in high school, I was just like, oh, like what is that? And then I got here to college and I actually learned what it was. Like I learned about what genetics was and I was just like, this is so cool. And now like this is my first research experience that I'm doing here in the summer. And I was assigned to like a cancer project, which is something, again, I was not familiar with, but it's so interesting. And it's so cool to like feel like I'm contributing to science and I'm contributing to helping make people healthier. So that's just kind of where everything ended up going.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. And so,
of course,
Fly listeners, as you're tuning in and really paying attention to Paloma's journey and story, hopefully you're reflecting and thinking about the things that resonate deeply with you. What do you care about? What's passionate and driving you in terms of your intellectual curiosity? What are those life experiences that really stand out to you that you'd love to be able to impact in a positive way, given those experiences, and beginning to ask questions around, how do you bring that to life? What does that look like? How do you follow that rabbit hole, if you will, to identifying these different places and spaces that continues to spark even further intellectual curiosity, so that you can bring those aspirations to life? So Paloma, thank you for sharing such a personal story on that journey and what that looked like for you. Linnell?
I think that one of the other things that really strikes me in all of this, Paloma, is that you, and I think part of the key to your success in the different arenas of your life is that you have never sat and waited for these opportunities to arrive at your doorstep. You know, when you realized, okay, I'm not sure that this is all there is out there, I'm going to go search. And whether that was financial aid, whether that was arriving in college, whether that was programs that would help take you further, summer research. And I think there's such an incredibly great lesson in that. You know, maybe the right thing will land in your lap if you sit and wait for it. Maybe. But it will land in your lap and a whole lot faster if you go out and look for it and help you grow from those experiences. So kudos to you for doing that. I'd like to go back on something else we talked about a little bit earlier, which was the academic adjustment, which was real. And one of the things I know about you is that you really took advantage of office hours. And so would you start by telling our listeners what office hours are and how they work, because that's not something you generally see in high school. And how was it for you to walk into office hours those first couple of times? How'd you get over the hump of that discomfort?
Yeah, of course. So office hours is essentially just like a couple of times a week, sometimes like a certain hour, it's like scheduled, whether either your professor or like a group of like TAs are there to help you with like your homework or like whatever assignment is being assigned that day. And you can ask like any questions in regards to like lecture or in regards to like homework assignments, or if there's an upcoming exam, they kind of host like that, they'll give you like practice exams and like you can like work through them with people there. So I think just that resource was really helpful for me, because I feel like I really like that, like, there's other people around, and like sometimes like we all like help each other. So like it's literally like it's not as intimidating as being like one-on-one with like either like a tutor or a mentor, like, which is also very helpful. But I think I like that there was other people around, and that like if you were still confused by like something that the TA said, you can kind of just like turn around and talk to a friend or talk to somebody that's there. And I think that was definitely very helpful for me. Like, and it was helpful, but it was also intimidating the first time I walked in, because then again, like, I literally like did not know anything about biology. Like, this is like the something that I will like preface like all the time. Like, I came in to like my intro bio class, and like they started talking about like the cell structure, and like you know, like I feel like a lot of people have seen like the one pictures of like the cell, and it has like all the little parts. I literally didn't know any of the parts. To this day, I feel like I still don't know some of the parts, and like it's very, very hard, because I have seen the picture. I feel like in high school, like most of our assignments were like, our teachers would like, they'd assign us like a video from YouTube, and they'd like make us take notes. And like, that was literally what the whole day entailed, just looking at like TikTok, like videos of like YouTube, and taking notes and like doing like the assignments that were attached to the YouTube video. So it was never much of a teaching or like engaging experience that I experienced in terms of biology, and like other science classes. But once I got to college, like, it was so different. Like, they were actually like, okay, like, this is that. And like, it can be so overwhelming in lecture. And then you go to office hours and you see all these kids that like, they know what they're talking about. Like, and you see like the types of questions they're asking. Like, you're always going to have the kids that are asking like these like crazy theoretical questions. So like, you get really like scared, because you're just like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Like, I kind of came to ask about a homework problem, and this kid is asking about like the super broad, like niche, like, or like a niche concept or something like that. But yeah, I think it was intimidating, but like, I think once you realize like, I'm here to get help, like, I'm just here to like really do my best and really exhaust the resources that are available to me, then you just kind of slowly get over it, and you just slowly get over the fear of going, especially knowing that like everybody in there is looking for help. Like, it's literally not just you. Like, it's everybody in there like wants help. Everybody in there like wants to be supported. So you're not the only one.
And through this, are there now professors that know you by name and, you know, can walk across campus and say, hey, Paloma, good morning. How's it going?
I feel like there's some, in office hours, I feel like since my classes, like the science classes are usually like pretty big, like you usually don't have like your professor that are office hours. It's usually like TAs, but there's some that like I do know. Like one of my, it's actually really funny, because like my advisor for the integrated biology program, he was my genetics professor. So like, he does know me by name, but only because like he's my like advisor. But I think it can be a little impersonal if you go to like a bigger school, because like you don't really like get to meet your professor in these really big lecture halls. But the bright side is that as you start progressing in your major, if you're in the sciences, like your classes start getting smaller and like more specific. So like, you actually do get to like interact with your professor one-on-one, and that's really nice.
You know, I think that oftentimes high school students, the thought of going in and talking to your professor is incredibly intimidating. And whenever we see our Hamilton Scholars the summer before they go to college, they are like, talk to them? Like you mean a conversation? And they think we're crazy. You know, what advice would you give to your younger high school counterparts about office hours in general and about conversations with professors?
Yeah, of course. And I understand that it can be intimidating. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm still very much intimidated. I think last semester I went like pretty much the whole semester without speaking to them, because I was very scared and very intimidated. But like, at the end of the day, like, they are just people, and they are there to help support you. Like, they got into this career because like they want to teach and they want to share their knowledge with other people. So I think Obviously, like, there's like the few that you see in movies that like seem very like scary and like strict. I definitely thought that, especially going to Harvard. I feel like Legally Blonde was just like running through my head all the time, and I was like, oh, like they're gonna like be super mean to me. But it's usually not the case. Like, very, very few times you're gonna encounter something like that. I feel like the professors at Harvard are genuinely, genuinely incredible, and like they are so knowledgeable in their field that like it's more intimidating the fact that like they know so much. I'm just like, wow, like I'm even in the same room with this person that's like such a famous professor. And like it's literally like so funny too, like whenever you go to college, and like this is the case for like pretty much like any school, like you're just gonna run into people that are just very, very accomplished, and like and they're professors, and they're like, I think if anything, like you should feel excited to be able to talk to your professors and just have an opportunity to like really hear from them and like get their mentorship if possible. But yeah, I feel like I would just say like, just remember that they're people, they're there to help. And like, they were students themselves once too. So they understand the struggle. And it's always important to just have that like as a connection, and just be able to say like, oh, like, I have like this professor that I really admire and that I talk to. And yeah, and I think that was like big for me, like, especially with my advisor now. Like I said, he's my genetics professor. And like, when I would see him, like the lecture hall was huge. And like, obviously, like, he didn't know who I was at the time. But then once he became my advisor, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, I think he's so cool. Like, he's such an interesting professor. And like, he has all these amazing accomplishments, all these books, all these like projects. And like, now he's like my advisor, like, that's crazy. And I can talk to him. And he's like a really cool guy. And he's very, very nice. And I think that's the case for most professors.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
As you continue to reflect on your collegiate journey, can you tell us about a meaningful extracurricular involvement or activity you've taken part in?
Would this be like during college, during high school?
During college.
Okay, during college. Well, I feel like when I was in high school, I did a bunch of like stuff, and I was very passionate about all of them, but it was definitely like a lot of extracurriculars that I was a part of, as opposed to when I got to college. Obviously, like the academic workload like really intensifies, so I had to really pick and choose like what I wanted to do. And I'm currently a part of like two extracurriculars, and like I made it a goal to like just stick to less extracurriculars, but really devote my time to them. So like more of a little bit over like quality over quantity. And so I'm currently a part of the Harvard Radcliffe FASA, which is like our Mexican Student Org on campus. And we just host a bunch of like little events. Like, we have like networking events, professional events. We have a lot of social events. And we like, I think my favorite part about that one is like the fact that we really try to make a home for Mexican students on campus and like Chicano students on campus. And like all the social events, and like, since I'm on the executive board, I'm currently serving as the alumni relations co-chair. So I interact a lot with like the alumni and like try to like get like funding and like sponsorships and stuff like that. But I just really, really love the fact that like our social events usually, like, we cater from like this one Mexican spot in Boston. Like, I think this is like the only authentic Mexican spot in Boston, to be honest, but we always cater from there. And like, we have like little cookouts. At the end of the year, we had like a carne asada, which is basically like a Mexican barbecue. And like, we cater from that place. We had like this whole spread of like amazing Mexican food. Like, I'm literally like, oh, I'm so hungry just thinking about it. And we would like make little snacks that like Mexican snacks that reminded us of home. Like, we made like some fideos, which is basically like soup and like with like quesadillas, and like it was something that like reminded me of like being like home in Mexico with my grandma. And like, just like, make it a point to like make it a cute little community for like Mexicans and like Chicanos. And then another extracurricular I'm a part of is the Latinos in Health Careers, and I'm currently like one of the vice presidents for that org. And I really, really like it because like, I feel like there's already such a minority of Hispanics and Latinos in the health fields. And I feel like it's really important to have that, like Linnell said previously, like representation is very important. It does really matter because like, I get to go to this organization and I get to be around like other people from my background or from similar backgrounds that are also like passionate about like health careers and about like making our healthcare system better, whether that is by being a doctor, by being a scientist, or just working in public health. Like, there's so many opportunities and so many different career paths in that. And we get to host, like, again, like, we have social events, but we also have a lot of like networking events, a lot of like panels. And my job as vice president is basically to reach out to like medical schools and host like informational sessions with them. So we just kind of like find med schools, we invite them to either come like see us in person or in Zoom, and like we host like this big event where like they come and talk to the students and like tell them about like the application process and like what med school's like. And now we're trying, I feel like there's like a smaller minority of like people that want to do grad school and like be a scientist instead. So now we're our next goal is just to like get grad schools to come so that we can like hear from them. And just, yeah, like it's a very resourceful thing. And like, I'm very happy to be able to be a part of like the group that shares those resources with like other students, and not just Latino students, but like we have students from all backgrounds come, and like we want to share the knowledge with everybody.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to just kind of finish a thought when you were talking about the Harvard Radcliffe Mexican student organization. You know, New England is perhaps known really well for its clam chowder, not so much for its Mexican food. So I think if you found a good place, we need to give them a shout out. So tell us the name of it.
Yeah, of course. So I talk about this place all the time, literally ask like all the people that are here for the program, like they come from different parts of the country. And I've been talking about this like literally nonstop. It's called La Oaxaqueña, and they have two locations in the Boston area, in Everett, Massachusetts, and in Revere, Massachusetts. And they have like food that they cater. And they also have like a mini little like grocery store inside like the actual location where they have like Mexican snacks. And like, it's low key, like really far from campus, but like I have taken an Uber like multiple times. I'm very guilty of taking an Uber multiple times like to go get Mexican snacks from that place, so recommend it.
Mm-hmm. It's a piece of home, you know, like, yeah. way to feel that warmth when you're so far away from your own family. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course.
And just very quickly, as you think about some of the extracurricular stuff that you just sort of shared, I hope our listeners were really like paying attention not only to what your primary drivers are, but also appreciating how this could, in effect, help you, right? And so as you think about building and establishing a community on campus and tapping into that alumni network, right? What ends up happening for you is you're continuing to build that community of people that you know beyond just the individuals who are on campus that could later on be of help or benefit, or vice versa. You could be of help or benefit to others, right? And so strengthening the community through those ties. And then on the other organization, being able to think through, as you're engaging with these different institutions, the potential for your own journey later on, right? Is there some place that I want to end up at? What am I hearing from these different places that piques my interest, right? It's one of those things where you're not only serving others, but it also helps you with your own personal journey. And so I just really wanted to emphasize that so that people recognize that as you tap into these organizations, I think it's phenomenal the approach that you've taken, where you said, you know, quality over quantity. To think thoughtfully and intentionally about why you want to join these organizations and what you're going to be pouring into it and how you could be taking things from it to help fuel where you're trying to go. So incredible, amazing, and I thank you.
Before we start to wrap up, I have one other question, and that is, you know, you're doing cancer research this summer. You've been through 2 years of college. You're now halfway there, right? How did you find this opportunity? How did you get this opportunity? Tell us a little bit more about this summer.
Yeah, of course. So I had never done research before, like in high school or anything. And like starting college, I really just wanted to focus on academics my first year. So sophomore year, going into my sophomore spring, I found like a research opportunity. That's the position I'm in during the school year. So it's at like Joslin Diabetes Center, working on like beta cell research, with type 1 diabetes. But I did want to have like an opportunity for the summer. because I really did enjoy like being in the lab. Like I feel like being there just kind of was very exciting, and I was like, I want to continue this during the summer. And then again, it kind of went back to high school a little bit, and I just started looking for stuff on my own. I feel like either on like online, like there's a lot of resources, and like the Harvard website has like a lot of them for undergrads. And just looking through like resources, but I did make it a goal that I didn't want to apply to like Harvard undergrad only programs. Like I really wanted to make it a point to get out of that bubble and meet people from other schools and meet people from other backgrounds, because like I feel like once you get to college, like it becomes like a big thing that like you kind of get stuck in like a little like college bubble, and like you only hang out with people from your college and that's it. But if I hadn't learned anything from like Hamilton, it's like that I met people from other backgrounds in other parts of the country that was like super impactful. So I'm like, I want to replicate that now that I'm in college, but like in terms of research. So I literally went online and I just looked up, oh, like biology programs for undergrad students, like biology summer programs for undergrad students. And I just went through the list and found ones that like really stuck out to me. The one that I'm currently doing, it's called the Broad Summer Research Program. And it's a program, it's dedicated to like promoting diversity in the sciences. So it is like a research program, but it's very much centered around like diversity and helping underrepresented people like be introduced to like the sciences. So that was very important to me, because I feel like, again, like there's not a lot of Latinos in science. I feel like there's a really, really small percentage of Latina women in science. So I was like, I want to be able to join like some sort of program that like really wants to help that and really is committed to like diversifying the sciences. So I just literally looked it up and I found the program, and it's, there's 20 of us in the cohort. So we're, it's only been like, 4 weeks, and like we're all like pretty close. And if it, like honestly, like I'm kind of sad like that it's gonna end soon, like it's gonna end like in August, and I'm already kind of dreading the fact that it's gonna end, because I really, really enjoyed meeting people from different programs. I'm the only Harvard undergrad in the program, so like I really got what I asked for, and I got to meet people from like other parts. There's people that are from like the Boston schools, but there's people that are from like Rice, the University of Puerto Rico, like UCSD, like literally like a bunch of schools throughout the country. So like, it's all a matter of like really just like searching for stuff, because like it sounds kind of like nitpicky and annoying to have to go online and just search through a bunch of websites, but like it's very nice and rewarding in the end. And I had applied to a bunch of them, and the ones that I got into like were very interesting, and I really liked them.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you. And again, it's just your willingness to sit down and just sift through information and see what's out there. And it's paid such great rewards. So as we wrap up, we do a little section called College Condensed, and it's just your quick response to a couple of questions. So you ready for it?
Yes.
Excellent. What scared you most about going to college? I think you've kind of talked about this a little.
I think just like feeling like I wasn't good enough and feeling like I wasn't worthy of being at this institution was my biggest fear.
And you know, something that I would never discuss publicly, but through our work together with Hamilton Scholars, you know, we talk and I know how you're doing. And I just want to assure our listeners that it is just fine, and more than just fine. So you know, to your credit, you have risen to the challenge, to every challenge that's been put in front of you, through, I think, just sheer determination, hard work, and adaptability.
I love it. As you reflect and think about your college journey so far, what would you say is a favorite college memory that you could share?
Oh, I feel like I have a bunch of them. So when I first joined college, I did cheerleading in high school and middle school, and I also got into the Harvard team. I ended up leaving because like it was like very chaotic and I didn't really have time to continue pursuing it. But I did get to cheer at like a couple games, and the first game that I cheered in was just like that experience was just so nice, because it was like the big Harvard stadium. Like I was in like the cheerleading uniform, and like it just felt like a little like movie scene. Like it was really cute. And I think that experience was just very, very nice. Even though I ended up leaving, like, I still really liked the girls and like, the community that they had in the cheer team. But
excellent. Excellent. What about a favorite book, podcast, movie, something else that you would recommend to our listeners?
So one of my favorite books of all time is The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. And I think that's just like a story about like everyone's personal journey and like our destiny and like just like going through this like really, really hard road to like get to an end goal. And I feel like it's a very, very beautiful story. And I feel like it's especially for listeners like you guys are very much wanting to go to college. You guys are wanting to like do all these amazing things. And like this book very much talks about like the journey to getting to a goal and just like having like a realization that like sometimes like some of these goals that you have, like it's like a whole thing, but like it's really interesting. And like it is about like one's own personal journey to like attaining a goal.
Great. Great. Thank you.
If you could get in a time machine and go back to when you were beginning your sort of collegiate exploration journey, what's a piece of advice you'd share with yourself?
I think about this all the time, and I would tell myself that like first of all, that it's going to be okay. Like you can take a breather, you can calm down. But I would really, really, really emphasize like enjoying your high school years, enjoying your just like college years, anything in general, like just really, really enjoy it. Like you don't have to make everything about school. You don't have to make everything about like getting into like this amazing college. Like please prioritize your mental health. Please prioritize like your family, your friends, and like having fun. Because like I feel like I look back in high school and like I genuinely didn't have like a lot of like fun experiences outside of school. So I'm just, it's something that I wish I would have done more. I would have had more fun. I would have been a little bit more relaxed on some days. Like of course, continue to work hard, continue to do things, but like take time for yourself and like take time to like have fun.
Appreciate that. I am just so filled with just gratitude. You've taken us on a journey from Mexico to New Mexico to Cambridge. You shared your story in terms of how you've navigated your own personal journey, the inspiration from personal elements of your life that have fed into your educational journey today and what your aspirations are. And I know that there are so many lessons and nuggets that our listeners have been able to tap into today. So Paloma, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time and your energy and just your sharing.
Of course. Thank you guys so much for having me. Very excited.